Welcome back, everyone, to Nerd Parents. This is episode 2, and we are a group of friends and parents coming together in a positive space to discuss parenting the nerdy way. I think that's going to be our tagline. I don't know. There might be a better one, but just a friendly reminder, as we talk through this podcast, every kid's different, and so are we. So please do your research and find out what's right for your family, because what's right for yours may not what's right for mine may not be right for yours. I'm flipping that. On today's episode, we have another wonderful panel of parents. We have Samantha Jane joining us.
Hi.
Again. Hey, Sam.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I missed you.
Aw, I missed you too.
And we also have a new parent on the panel this time. It's Mr. Eric Van Skyhawk.
Hey, hello.
I'm probably just going to call you Hakito a few
times.
Yes,
I know you. And also, isn't this episode 3?
Oh, did I say 2?
You did.
No, it is episode 2.
It is episode
because
2.
Because we had an episode 0.
Yeah, we did have an
just episode. Just to get really confusing.
Oh, there was an episode 0.
It was our test episode, so I could work out all the mics and we could kind of get our flow and all of that. So
yeah, and we gave her a long show, so she had lots to work with.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sorry, my mistake.
It's okay.
You come in here on this for the first time, and you just start questioning and everything.
Well, I didn't hear the music at the beginning, so I'm even more confused.
Oh, sure. Bring up the music again. Why don't you?
Well, we're happy you came onto the show and to talk with us about parenting, because I know you have 2 wonderful little boys. You want to tell the audience about them?
I have 2 boys. One name is Wesley. He's 10. And I have another boy named AJ, who's 7.
AJ. I was very fortunate to meet both of them. And a few years back, we came to visit in New Jersey.
Yep.
And he was playing with a Nerf gun or something like that. I can't remember, but he was wanting me to do something. And I'm like, sorry, AJ, I can't play with you right now.
Yes, he's a handful. AJ's a handful. But if you ever follow me any kind of social media, you'll see the little movies I do with them.
Yeah, they're adorable. Yeah. And in fact, I know you're a music composer, and the intro to this podcast was created by you. So thank you for that.
No problem. That is correct.
And it was inspired. I think we were at Nerdtacular last year, and your song that you made for Wesley came on, and Mark had heard it, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
We got to do that for Mateo.
Oh, would you do this for Mateo? So yeah, it's an awesome way to kind of capture that little moment. And
yes, I can't wait to embarrass him when he's older with that song.
I'm sure Mateo will be like, that's not me.
Can you imagine though? Like, I grew up with photographs that were embarrassing enough that my mother had to show people.
Right.
So like, poor Will is going to have video of him riding around on his grandmother's back when he's like 16.
Yeah.
Bare naked.
Or 60. I mean,
exactly. And he's going to be like neighing like a horse. And like, can you imagine?
Well, the thing is yeah, they're the kids now, their childhood is very well documented compared to what we had, where, you know, a few photographs here and there. Few Super 8 movies, you know, that nobody, the projector broke, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember, it was a while back, but a guy had videotaped himself in, I think it was the 80s when he was like 13, and like had an interview with himself, and he like put it side by side. Did you see that video?
No.
I didn't see that one.
It was very clever and funny. And he's like 13 years old. So this is back in the 80s when like the big, you know, the video cameras were super expensive.
It was like the Goldberg days.
Exactly, like the Goldberg days. I love that show, by the way. But he filmed himself like asking his future self questions. And then when he was 30, he actually responded to those questions, and they put it side by side, and it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
I'll have to send you that link and put it in the show notes, because I'm just wondering what kind of stuff kids are doing now that, you know,
30 years from now. It's gonna.
Did you see that thing where like a kid did like a 4-year time lapse of himself?
No, no.
Oh yeah, I've seen those photos a day where it's somebody takes a photograph of themselves in exactly the same position every day, and then they put it together in a.
Yeah, but this kid, this did it like for, I think it was 3 or 4 years. And it was kind of amazing just, you know, how much he changed within. He was like a, you know, a tween to a teenager and just how much he changed.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do that to Will, but I don't know if I can actually make myself do it.
Well, you got to.
There's an app out there and I did it for a little while and I can't even remember what it's called. But I think it was like a picture a day or something like that. And I think
it's called Every Day, I think.
Is it Every Day? But yeah. I think I took maybe 20 pictures. There's like huge breaks in time on my mind.
It's called Every Day. It's specifically made to do a picture of a day type of thing. The cool thing about it, you can set an alarm to remind you. Like it's time to take your photo.
See,
that's kind of cool.
I think it would be funnier if your phone just took the picture automatically and whatever's in front of it, it takes a picture of.
Oh, it's $1.99 too.
Oh, really?
Oh no, sorry. That's Photo 365 Every Day.
Yeah, this is like a service. You can go online, and there's a website, and you can follow other people. And
the app that I use is called Every Day, and I did it for about 3 months, but then I just like, oh,
on to the next shiny new thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I didn't change too much at all. So.
Well, if you're doing it of us at this age, like, I mean, you'd get changes in hair color for me, but that's about it.
Right. Well, for me, it depends on the time of day. Like in the morning, my eyes are so puffy and I hate taking pictures in the morning. So they're depending on that time of day. I'll look differently depending. Sam, you mentioned Will, but if somebody's listening for the first time, do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay. I'm Samantha Jane. I have a 4-year-old son who just turned 4 on Christmas Day, the poor little soul. And he is very energetic and very smart and exhausting and lovely.
And lovely. Yes, he's an adorable little boy. He's very adorable. Really cute picture from Nerdtacular this year, or last year's Nerdtacular of you and him.
He's such a little cuddly thing. We've actually had to tell him now that you can't just randomly hug people. I know mommy does it, but mommy knows the
apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Right, exactly. Well, both Randy and I are very huggy. So he went up to a friend of ours last night and just started hugging her. And she's like, and I'm like, okay, well, some people are not as huggy as mommy and daddy. So you have to ask people if it's okay to give them a hug.
Right, right.
You can't just go grab people's bodies randomly. So he was very confused by that comment.
Mateo is in that same boat. He has no fear of strangers. And in fact, he runs after them. Like,
yeah, Will does that too. It's terrifying.
So,
no, we're your parents over here.
Yeah. So just for the listeners, my name's Nicole Spag. I have just turned 2. His birthday's on October 28th. So he's like a Halloween baby.
Oh, cool.
He's 2 already? Fun
part. I know, right? He's 2.
Oh my gosh.
2 October 28th. Yeah. So I stopped counting in months. As soon as he hit 2, I'm like, 2.
Yeah,
so
it's a good thing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's kind of weird. Oh, he's 22 months old, and I was like, okay.
Now I have to do math.
You know, but see, I understand why people do that because when I say there's such a huge change in just turning 2 and being at the later end of 2. So it's more, I think, insecurity that I would say the months. Because, I mean, he was premature, so he's already a little bit smaller than the rest of the kids. So it's really, it's insecurity on my part that I would say months because I'm like, oh, no, he's not. Because the last thing you want to hear is, oh, he's so small or, Oh, he's not speaking.
People actually say things.
Yes.
Like
that? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people have no filter in a lot of cases. So
we've talked about anger issues, but do you hit them?
No. You know what? We should probably talk about that. I got a tweet from somebody that they wanted to do a drinking game every time we said we're going to punch somebody. I'm like, you know, I might have some anger issues with that. I need to evaluate.
I would like to state for the record that I have not punched anyone.
Me neither. Just you sometimes feel it.
You sometimes think about it, but that's, I think, again, part of parenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
The protective, instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just somebody's kind of being.
Hakita, you didn't chime in when you said you've never punched anybody.
I've never. I have never.
It's okay. You don't have to.
So one of the things we started doing in the last episode was kind of our ups and downs for either the day, week, month. Just something fun, a little positive. Positivity, and then also kind of commiserating with each other when, you know, things don't always go so well. Samantha, do you have any ups or downs that you'd like to share?
Well, ups, let's go with positive. Will actually asked me to turn off the television to read from his science book.
Oh,
because he's so interested in the solar system.
Oh, that's awesome. You know what? I just retweeted on Nerd Parents' Twitter account the Saturn drawing that you guys did. That was so cute.
He's just fascinated by Saturn's rings and the fact that Jupiter, all of the planets could fit inside Jupiter.
I don't blame him.
And he's cool like, stuff. Well, would Jupiter eat the other planets? And I'm like, well, no, because planets don't eat things, but you know, well, where's its stomach? And it's like, okay, now we're getting totally off topic.
Wait till you, you know, I get questions from AJ, like, what does the fabric of time mean, Daddy?
Oh my goodness. Have you introduced him to Doctor Who yet?
No.
Oh, have fun with that one. I've heard.
Oh yeah, Time Lords. That's going to be confusing.
No, he told me the other day, and he said, Daddy, I don't want to build a time machine. I'm like, why not? Because if I go back in time and I run into myself, that will unravel the space-time continuum and destroy the universe.
Where is he learning this?
I have no idea.
Are you watching Star Trek?
No.
Star Trek?
But I'm just like, okay. So I'm not going to build a time machine, Daddy. I'm like, okay.
They're doing a film sack movie about this, or in a couple episodes, I think. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. So so Randy's going to be watching like a Star Trek film.
No, it's Michael Crichton adapted book.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
Does Will watch some of the movies with Randy sometimes?
Sometimes. It's difficult because we try and keep him away from the violent stuff, because he wants to copy it.
You're right.
Which is like horrendous for me. Right. But it depends on the show. Like if there's horror, then no. If there's fighting, then we try to minimize that. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, they'll do one that's kid appropriate.
Yeah, occasionally.
That's the key word there.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Get some family-friendly films in there, guys. By the way, we're talking about film sack.
Will didn't watch Chud.
You didn't watch
Chud. Yeah, they watched Chud. But I don't think a family-friendly demographic is necessarily...
the like, audience,
not fam- I don't. Like, not four-year-old friendly. Yeah. So, I don't think that's a thing.
So do you have any downs you want to share?
Will, the delightful little thing, has been pretty argumentative since Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think he got a little spoiled. Mm-hmm. So we've had to be really kind of strict with the discipline, which has been interesting because he has been rebelling against that a little bit. We use a timeout chair. Mm-hmm. And we try and stick to just the timeout chair, but it's getting to the point where he's actually being a bit physical. Mm. So it's an interesting conundrum how one deals with your child hitting when you don't want to hit.
Right.
But you want to explain to them why you're not hitting.
Do you, I'm curious, do you have like a light system or anything like that? So he knows how long he's sitting there or...
No, we have the timer on the microwave, which he can see from his chair. and it beeps, and we do a minute for every year.
Right. That's what we do.
So he's at 4 minutes now, and we sit him down in the chair and we explain you're in timeout because, mommy told you you needed to get ready for school and you weren't putting on your shoes. Instead, you were playing with your Lego and
right.
Very minor example. I wish they were all like that. And then if he gets out of his chair or if he is excessively vocalizing during timeout, he may get another timeout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's funny because I know when you bring timeout up in just kind of general conversation on the internet, you'll get two camps. Oh, that's horrible. You should not use timeout. That's not good. But the way that we do timeout is more like it's like a time in kind of thing where he's so overstimulated. He's acting out. So I take him to a quiet place.
Yeah.
I say, you need to stay on this mat. And because he doesn't get the concept of time, the tot clock that I brought up in our right. beta episode has a green button on it that you can set the time or no, a red button. Sorry, it's red. So the green is good. The red is bad. And so the red button is set for 2 minutes. And I say, you need to calm down. We're in here because you did this and mm-hmm. you can't get up until the light is yellow, going from red to yellow.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, we don't use it as like an ostracization thing. Right. Like we're still walking around doing our own thing. He can still, in theory, talk to mm-hmm. us. Although it's usually, I can't believe I'm in timeout. I hate timeout.
Right.
And he can still see us for the most part. He can't play with his toys. He can't see his toys. Mm-hmm. He's staring at a very lovely painting of salmon. but it's more for calming him down and getting him out of the situation that's winding him up.
Yeah.
And getting me out of the situation that's winding me up too, Randy, depending on who's putting
Sometimes
him
in. We just need a break, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. And I think that's a valuable lesson. Sometimes you have to take a break when you find yourself getting overstimulated. Mm-hmm. You have to like take a step back.
And it's not just the kids. I think,
right.
I mean, for parents too. So,
well, and there's times when mommy gets time out, when mommy goes and has a bath because she's 40. So she gets 40 minutes.
Well, I guess 40 a 40-minute time out.
Right. So like,
Eric, how long's your time out?
Right. Exactly.
And my time out?
Yeah.
It's going to be 44 pretty soon here.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's good to teach kids too, that parents make mistakes as well.
Yeah.
And then to get out of timeout, he has to apologize and understand why he was in timeout, which is sometimes difficult because sometimes he's like, well, I pulled on a thing. No, mommy told you not to pull on the thing and you kept repeatedly pulling.
Didn't listen.
Right. It's more about not listening than just doing the thing that I've told you not to do. So, and then he kind of looks at me like, yeah, you're insane. What do I have to say to get out of here?
The listening thing is a big deal. For my up, Mateo is finally, he's still not so much listening to Mark and myself, but he is showing signs of understanding and listening. So we watch the Wiggles a lot now, and there's a little song called Simon Says. They sing it. And just out of nowhere, he just started doing it. Hands on the head, hands on the nose.
Yay.
And I was like, oh my God, he's listening.
He gets it.
He gets it. So I have a feeling I'm going to have to say everything in song and rhyme to get him to listen for this first part.
You'll get really good at making limericks.
Exactly. So I have to say I really was happy when I saw that, and it just tells me that he's getting like he's transitioning in front of my eyes, and it's just weird to see going from baby to toddler and different things.
Yeah, it's weird to see, for all intents and purposes, their brains changing.
Yeah,
and then making these connections. It's fascinating.
It's like the neurons are just going pew 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 pew.
Yeah.
And my down, because he's changing so much. Things that we used to do and had no problem with, like changing his diaper, is becoming so much work. And so yes. He will sit on the potty and he will tinkle, and but he won't go poop.
Yeah, that so takes
this,
a while.
This whole part of, and also he won't let me change his diaper. So I'm like, okay, you won't go on the potty and you won't let me change your diaper. This is not working for me.
So, right. Pick so one. I don't care which one.
I've learned to perfect the art of changing a diaper while he's standing up now.
Oh, and that's hard with the poop. Yes.
How do you do that?
Magic.
I just do it. Because crystals. He will not lay down, and yeah. I don't want to give him an iPhone or a toy. Like, so I'm just like, fine, done. So, and I will say, I've only done it once. No, I don't even think I've done it once with poop. It's always been, like a pee diaper or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can see that. Yeah.
I've done it with poop.
Yeah. Only when the poop is like solid. I can't believe we're talking about this, but yeah. So that's the only time that works.
Tell me that when you guys became new parents, one of the first things you did not Google was baby poop and what is healthy.
Yes, then there's a flow
because
chart.
Because we did.
There's a total flow chart out there too, yes. Like with colors yes. and consistency.
Yes. At 3 weeks, this is the normal color for baby poop. If it looks like this, go to your doctor. Yes. It's just like,
You're right. I did. Did you? Right? Did you, Eric?
I did not.
Oh, you did not.
Wow.
Well, the thing is, I have three sisters and two brothers, so.
Oh, okay.
So I have younger siblings that I remember changing diapers, so I kind of was
prepared.
Prepared for what was coming.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I'm an only child, yeah. So I have no clue.
I have a younger brother, but he's only 4 years younger than me, and I don't remember any of that stuff. So yeah, I was not prepared at all. At all. So how about you, Eric? Any ups or downs you want to share?
Ups or downs? I guess, I guess I'm not, I mean, things this week, I guess, is just, you know, the good thing is like, you know, getting, hearing that things are going well at school with my kids, you know, and, from teachers and stuff like that, especially
they just started back up at the after
yeah,
the
and
break.
You know, and we just had parent teacher conference a couple of weeks ago, and to hear that that Wesley, my autistic son, is doing really well, and that they're just that the kids love him, and the teachers are just love him to death, and teachers are like, oh, I want to have him next year too, and blah blah blah.
That's so a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. You know, because you always want, you know, when your kid has special needs, you always want them to feel, you know, welcome and fit into school. Mm-hmm. But kids love him, and he has, you know, girls that give him gifts and stuff. Like, it comes home like, who gave you this bracelet? Oh, Rose gave it to me. And, you know, and the teachers, you know, tell me sometimes like they actually have to remind the girls not to help him too much so he can do stuff on his own type of thing.
Right.
So
he's working it. He's working it.
Yeah. And then AJ, he's, you know, doing really well also. You know, we had him tested the other day just to see how he's doing. Cause you know, everybody asks us if we're going to skip him ahead, and socially we just want to keep him where he's at. But
he is a smart little boy.
Well, yeah, he's in second grade right now. Mm-hmm. And we had him tested, and he's doing math at a third grade level.
Wow.
He's doing reading at a seventh grade level.
What?
And he's spelling at a high school level.
Holy. Because I watched the video you posted of him doing the, it was Africa, and he was putting in all of the
countries
into Africa. And I'm just watching this going, holy crap.
He was.
I can't do that.
He was five when he did that.
Holy. What app was that?
It's called What's the Countries?
What's the Countries?
Yeah.
And he's saying them. Have you seen it, Samantha?
I have not.
So there's Africa, and then all the countries are listed, and he's saying them as he's poking and tapping on them. Poking.
The thing is, it's a blank
map
of of Africa, and they're appearing at the bottom of the screen, but you have to, there's no borders or anything on the map, but you have to point on the map of
where it would be, right?
Where the countries are. Yeah.
and put them in the right spot.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I mean, that to me is app kind of technology at its best and mm-hmm. really facilitating a child exploring something that maybe we wouldn't normally think they would be able to do. I know Mateo has surprised me a number of times with a few apps. And it's like, when did you learn how to do that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The stuff they can do, and it's every day. You know, every day you get surprised by something that they do or say.
Right.
And you know, that's a great thing about having kids.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
Well, it is.
And then the down thing is we recently hired a new nanny because I'm gonna hopefully be going back to work soon here. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed.
I'm crossing them for you.
Thank you. So I've been interviewing and stuff like that. And then one day that I was, you know, waiting for the kids to get off the bus. And they get off the bus and they see daddy standing there and they're like, oh, aww. Where's the new nanny?
Oh. Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're really upset that daddy's here,
thanks,
huh?
Thanks, kids.
Oh, that is a little...
That's hard.
Yeah, it does kind of makes you a little sad. So
no, just I kind of had to laugh at it just because it's, you know, they're like kids tell you what they really feel. Mm-hmm. Like we're excited to see the new babysitter, Dad.
No filters, right?
No filters. Well, yeah,
and that's the thing. Like Will say that he wants to spend time with his babysitter, and his babysitter gets here, and he's like, "Okay, Mom, Dad, go away." And it's like, wow, dude, you know, and I'm like, I'm feeling so guilty. And Randy's like, are you kidding me? He's like pushing us out the door.
Mateo has we finally found someone that we trust. Being a first time parent, I think we're in an area where we really don't have a lot of friends or know a lot of people. So finding a babysitter has been I don't like the process. So I've tried care.com and I'm just like, I just don't want to leave my kid with people I don't know. So we finally found someone that it was his daycare provider in the previous class. So right. He'd already moved on to the next class. And so he loved her. And I was like, mm-hmm. Do you ever do any babysitting on the side? And she goes, oh, yeah. So whenever she comes over, he's just like enamored by her and twirling her hair. Yeah. He has a hair thing. He likes to twirl hair. but yeah, that's how that's it.
Well, that's
anytime she's around, I know I'm chopped liver.
So. Well, and that's how we found Will's babysitter too, is that she worked at his daycare and she was his second teacher and they just love each other to bits.
Right.
And she's sweet and she's better trained than I am. So he's safer with her than he is with me. That doesn't hurt at all.
No. So, Hakito, you've kind of been a stay-at-home dad, right?
I have been last, 9-10 months, I guess.
Have you seen this article where the stay-at-home dad leaves Post-its for his wife?
Yes.
It's hilarious. So I'll put this in the show notes, but here's just a sampling of some of the notes that he's left his wife. He says... people have warned me about turning my back on baby, but I think the better advice would be don't blink. And then and then he has this post-it note on this toy truck. I don't buy a toy truck or a toy thinking how much the kid will like playing with it. I buy it based on how much it will hurt when I eventually step on it in the dark. And then this one just happened to me because... we had some old pretzels in a little cup in the car for about a month. When it comes to found snacks, couch, car, pockets, the kid likes to exercise the little used 5-month rule. So kids just Mateo will find something and just go, crunch, crunch, crunch. So
yes, I had to teach them about the 5-second rule.
I lost that argument because at daycare, they're like, nope. That's dead.
Yeah, it's done.
So Will kind of looked at me like, Mom, you're gross.
Well, when I see, because they have to, at daycare, they have to notify you when like hand, mouth, foot disease is around.
Yeah.
And they post it and it just freaks me out when I see those posts.
Oh, like, yeah, nothing like getting the lice notification in the front in your kid's backpack.
Oh my gosh!
Just letting you know, there's a student who has lice. So
not that your kid does, but he might.
Exactly.
Cleo, are you on the line now? I thought she joined.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Never mind. Cleo was going to join us, but she had something come up and we missed
her. No, I posted the link in maybe that's what you heard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there it is. So yeah, check out this. There's probably like, I don't know, how many are in there? Like 20 or 30 of them, but they're really funny.
I just tell you, it's exhausting. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's.
Nobody warns you about the exhaustion.
Yeah.
Like, no, yeah, it's you know, it's fun and I love doing it, but it's just it's exhausting and you always keep you on your toes.
Well, and you're a night owl. I mean,
I am a night owl.
You stay up later than anyone I know and then get up at like crazy hours. You function on like 4 hours of sleep on most nights, I think.
Yeah, and that's just how I function. I don't know. That's just it's been like that.
Do you drink a lot of coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
What? How do you stay awake?
I'm not convinced you're human.
I know, right? I think we've just confirmed that Eric is a cyborg.
Right.
Yeah. I don't drink coffee, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because we game a lot, so we're in Warcraft raiding, and you're East Coast, and we're sometimes West Coast. Well, we're West Coast, but we change time zones. But, yeah, there's times where we'll be gaming, and it's like 3 a.m. for you. So.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, I remember that one night, I think it was AJ came in and he wanted Gushers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those Gusher fruit snacks. And I can't remember. There was something, the way he said it was just adorable.
So I said, you don't like Gushers. Why do you want Gushers? Because every time you open up Gushers, you have one. And you're like, oh, I don't like it. It was that. I think that was the right.
Or he was afraid of them, or I can't remember. Yeah, like he wanted them, but he was afraid of them, and yeah, it was really.
There's a problem with AJ not learning from experience. I do not know what to do for him to learn about his past experiences.
What do you mean?
Oh, I just like this is a horrible, horrible thing.
Oh, so he's like, oh, I want to.
I was cooking mac and cheese on the stove, right? And I was in the process of draining the macaroni, you know, in the calendar, the strainer in the sink. And he was climbing up on this counter. And I said, AJ, get off the counter. You're going to get hurt. The stove is really hot. Get off the counter. And he goes, but Dad, I want to see. Continue. And I had my hands full, so there's nothing I could do. And he continued to climb onto the counter. He fell forward onto the stove.
Oh, no.
Oh.
He grabbed onto the hot stove, no. Like the what are the, I don't know what they call the
element.
We have a gas stove, so it's the
things that
go on top to hold the pot. Yeah,
yeah.
Held that and burnt his hands and his arms. That we had to take him to the hospital.
Oh my goodness!
Like I had the saddest. His arms were wrapped up, you know. And he actually touched his nose a little bit when he fell forward. Oh, he had a little burn on his nose, even and. You would think after that experience, the pain.
Yeah,
and,
stay away from stove.
Yeah, but like after he was all healed up, it was like climbing up the counter. I said, AJ, what happened the last time you climbed up on the counter?
Gosh.
I got burned really bad. Then what are you doing?
Oh my goodness.
Learn from your experiences.
Will is like the opposite. Like if he burns himself on the mac and cheese because it's too hot, then he'll wait like an hour for it to cool down.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
You can just blow on it a little, honey. It'll be fine, right? He's like, no, it's hot. It's like, okay.
We're still teaching or trying to teach Mateo how to blow. So he's like, he'll blow up his bottom lip up. Like, no, out, buddy.
My dad had a trick for that, and that is get them to blow a tissue.
Oh.
Because then they can
see it.
Where their breath is going because they can't see where it's going. So they don't know. But if you like put down little bits of tissue, then you can kind of make
figure it. Well, see, my problem with tissue is Mateo likes to eat it. He likes it. And I say eat because he'll chew on it like gum and then he'll spit it out. So paper towels, paper, anything paper related, he likes to chew on. Like, and he'll chew on it like gum, like, and then go, So I find these little spitballs all around the house. I'm like, oh, who let the paper towels out?
So, kids do the strangest things. Yeah, they really pick up on the strangest little.
I think it's the molar thing. He's working on his molars, so it's not so fun right now. I hate the molars.
Yeah.
Eating's not fun.
Yeah.
Will was really lucky because we started noticing him teething one day, and then one came in like the next day, and then like 3 days later they were all in.
Oh wow.
And it was just like, oh my gosh, we really dodged a bullet there. Yeah. Right. And like for those few days, he was totally on the Tylenol and miserable and running a fever and all of the things that happen with teething. But no, it was over super fast. We were really lucky.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll have more conversations about teething as we get in. And we're dealing with a whole bunch of weird teeth stuff right now. But since we have Eric on the show, there's this little known thing that happened to Eric a few years ago that I think has finally been resolved. And Eric, do you want to tell the story about your Smurfberry incident on your iPad?
Yeah, so AJ was playing with the Smurfberries on my iPad, and you know, I get email notifications about if something's been charged to my iTunes account. And lo and behold, I think it was like $65 or something.
Or the $99 one.
Wow. I think it was a $65 Smurfberry purchase.
Holy cow.
I was like, what are you doing? And the thing is because they don't know my password.
Right.
But the problem is like he wanted me to download something.
And so you put it in.
I put it in, but it remembers your password for a small amount of period of time.
Yeah, and this is a setting on your device that you can like bypass it or something. Like you said, it remembers, and it's a timed window or something like that.
Yeah,
I've done that before.
Yeah, it's like so. But now, luckily, I think they've changed it that you need it for every purchase now to put your password in.
I don't know, because there's times where I've done that and it kind of has a cookie for a time period. I know when you're doing in-app purchases, it will ask you every time. But when you're buying apps, I think if you buy one, it
will remember. Yeah, well, I think it's the in-app. That's the thing is, I think the in-app purchases are like, as you say, it can be up to $99.
Yeah.
And that's where they get you.
Yeah.
But luckily,
did you go through? Did it take a while to get that refund? Because the reason why
this was very early days, I think, and I think Apple didn't know how to handle stuff like that, because I think Smurfberries was one of the very first one with a very overly expensive in-app purchases, because this was like probably like two years ago.
Yeah.
So it's aimed at kids too, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think they gave me a refund without any issues or problems. I was lucky with that.
Because Apple they went through a class action lawsuit for unauthorized use of in-app purchases, and FTC and basically said you have to refund these people for these unauthorized app purchases. So Terpster, I doubt you're listening. You could always claim you have a kid and get that those Simpson,
oh, that donut
Simpson
money
donuts
back.
But they're anticipating $32 million that they're going to have to refund back to parents that the kids got into their phone or their iPad and made these in-app purchases without verifying that they were actually purchasing them. So,
I think that there should be, okay, you get a cookie that waits for 5 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then if the purchase is over 99 cents, please verify, because
I know,
$99 purchase is just insane.
Yeah, same way with Simpsons Tapped Out. Those donuts, damn donuts! And I've bought some of those donuts, and I can't blame
it.
I can't blame it on Mateo, or maybe I can. But no, because I like that game, and I've been playing it for like almost now well over a year. It's almost 2 years, I think. So
yeah, I haven't been in there for ages.
Because I started.
Yeah, neither.
I started before the Halloween event last year. So I've already done another Halloween event, and I've already done another Christmas event. And they even say in the game, like, we weren't expecting to be doing this game still. So kind of running out of stuff to give you. I'm like, give me more, give me more. So, but yeah, that's good news. If you're listening, if you have some of those unauthorized in-app purchases, you should definitely check in on how you can get your money back. I know that there's a couple of forum threads on Apple's website talking about this and kind of what the process is to get those refunds. So don't just chalk it up to lost money. You can get that back. So, but I did read that I would imagine in some cases it will be actual money, but from what I read on a couple of other sites, it's going to be like credit that you can use to buy other stuff. But I'm sorry, there was one woman that her kid spent $600 on in-app stuff.
What?
$600.
Oh.
Yeah, right? What the hell are you buying?
Well, and how do you teach your kids not to do that? Because Will go into Angry Birds and say, I want the explodey thing because it's fun. And and he'll be tapping on it. And it's like, it'll pop up and it's like, Mommy, it's not working because it's asking for my password. It's working perfectly. Yeah.
Well, in this case, it was, for her, it was Minion Rush, the Despicable Me game. And Mateo plays that game. And I know exactly how that kid chalked up $600, because when you're running the minion and he runs into something, you have 5 seconds to resume, and that costs money. And you click, 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 buy. So I hate that game. I love it and hate it, because when he's so, Mateo's so impatient that he's like, I'm not going to wait the 5 seconds. I'm hitting the button. I'm like, no, wait. You got to wait in order to get to the next run. So yeah. I know exactly how that woman got $600 charge up, because that little game is easy to spend money on.
I have a rule with my in-app purchases with my kids. They only can buy one thing every weekend. Mm-hmm. No purchases during the week.
That's interesting. That's a good idea.
So do you have this limit or anything like that?
I mean, usually it's like, you know, maybe $99 to $299 per weekend type of thing, but one each type of thing. And so they knew the rule, like, it's during the week. I'm not buying you anything. It's not the weekend yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's so interesting, because Will, sadly, is not interested in his iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to, so interested in planets now. I'm trying to show him planet stuff on the iPad.
But to him, though, the iPad is just another toy. Like, we look at it as like this amazing device that's changed our life. But to the kids, it's
been there since they were, you know, born type of thing.
Yeah. So actually, let's move into our solicited advice. These are emails from our listeners. And one of the emails that came in relates to this topic. So this is from Adam, and he says, hi, Nerd Rents. I've been a gamer. I've always been aware of the positive aspects of playing games. So I'm not too strict when it comes to my 3-year-old's iPad time, especially with all the great interactive apps available. But anything in excess is not a good thing. What kind of time limits do you impose on iPad use? Excited about the new show. Cheers, Adam. So this is a great question, because we've talked about, I think actually it was an offline conversation, being kind of nerdy parents. This is just something that we use technology. It's in our life. It's just there. And especially for my son, Mateo, he's been interacting with an iPad since he was like 12 months old.
Yeah.
And when you start kind of going out there and researching screen time, you automatically hear, there should be no screen time at all for children under 2. And I just had this insane guilt about that.
Well, the funny thing is, go ahead.
No, you.
Oh, I mean, we've heard this argument about TV when we were kids.
Right. Exactly.
Seriously, like, the same people are saying the same thing about TV. And look, everybody is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And
we all have our hobbies, and we all have the things that we do to make a living. And we're not, some of us are still living in our parents' basement, but you know, the economy sucks. And I think it's good to teach kids what they're interested in. And some kids are interested in screen time. Mm-hmm. And I think it depends on what the screen time is.
I think that's the key to this. This blanket, right, no screen time at all is not helpful for real life parents. And
if Will is sitting there reading an interactive book and interacting with it,
right,
he can do that for as long as he wants, unless we have to go somewhere, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
If he's watching Transformers, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to at some point say, hey, don't you want to transform Bumblebee?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because they did a study on children's programming. So the idea, and you saw this back in, I think it was 94 is when Blue's Clues came out,
right,
where they did a comparison of children watching a show that's not interactive. It doesn't speak, right, to them. It's just a cartoon. And they compared it to a parent or an adult coming in and interacting them. And they monitored like the brain activity and things like that. And of, mm-hmm, course, the parent talking to the child is going to, spark more brain activity versus them just kind of a very passive cartoon. But then they started testing these more interactive cartoons like Blue's Clues that talk to the child. And they, right, found that it was the same kind of brain activity that was happening with the parents interacting with them. Mm-hmm. So the kids don't really, in their brain, they don't necessarily differentiate. They just know that they're interacting. Like the, right, television is talking to them and they are talking back. And so those types of programs I actually have no problem with. And so like the Mickey Mouse Club, where they're like, say, Mouseketeer, Musketoo. And so they're like encouraging. Like,
things like Bo on the Go. Mm-hmm. I love Bo on the Go because Will knows if he's watching Bo on the Go, he has to do what she's saying. And, right, it's an exercise program, basically.
How about you, Eric? Do you have any?
Well, the thing is, as AJ, sorry, I remember the name of that app was called Stack the Countries.
Stack the Countries.
And they have Stack the States also. And like when he was in that phase, like he was consuming all that on the iPad, he learned geography like beyond, my dream. Like, right, he could name any country, that country's capital, that, that type of stuff just through this app. Learning the pronounced way to say the countries. He went into these little phases, mm-hmm, where then he got into Angry Birds, like really heavy into Angry Birds, which is, I don't know how, that's not very educational, but then he switched into his, the solar system, mm-hmm, phase, where he was just consumed by learning all the facts and he was reading stuff about planets and stuff on the iPad. So I think there's a balance there to be struck about, because I don't know about your kids, but mine seem to go into phases of different things that are into.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but Wesley has to do reading and I love these Dr. Seuss interactive books that he can do on the iPad because, mm-hmm, he struggles with reading and if he reads it out loud, but if he doesn't know how to pronounce word, he just has to tap that word and learn, right, how to pronounce it. Hello?
Yes. You're fine. You're back.
There was a blip.
Those books are amazing. And when the iPad first came out, there were only a handful of them. And they were more of the, they were more adult kind of nursery rhymes. I don't know. They were more older kid kind of stuff. And the fact that there's a whole kid section now in iTunes. We struggled, however, kind of what Adam's asking about is, knowing when to, oh, sorry about that. That's the, let me pause that for a minute. Sorry. The music came on and I had to mute it real quick.
Right. We didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But one of the things we had problems with in kind of balancing that was reading Mateo and knowing that after a certain period of time with the iPad, he just got frustrated with it. And we needed to guide him on to other things. And we've even done so much as kind of gone on an iPad cleanse where we just kind of, if he doesn't see it, he doesn't know it's there. So we we read him. And I do find for Mateo that if I do pull back iPad time. He enjoys it more, and I also try to help him focus more on certain apps. So I'll only give him a page of apps versus five pages of apps. And I use the cloud as his library, and I'll pull in, depending on his mood, I'll pull in different apps for a period, and then I'll delete them and pull in a different one that he hasn't seen, and it's brand new to him again. So it really kind of depends on your kid and reading your kid and deciding how much time you want to – what's right for him.
Yes, I also have another rule is like no iPads in the morning before school.
Right. See, that's just self-preservation.
That's because they will they not.
Yeah, they want to let it's go. Like,
put your shoes on. Come on, brush your teeth. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Get dressed. You know, and it's just got to the point where like, all right, new rule, no iPads, no distraction in the morning.
Yeah. And we do no screen, whether it be TV or iPad, at least an hour before bedtime. So we were having some issues with nighttime put down
and winding
him down, right? So I mean, these are stimulants. So and they get excited about learning and doing new things. So that hour gave us enough buffer time to kind of help him wind down. And yeah, we'll play with more like block puzzles and things like that. And he's really into Mr. Potato Head right now, like insane about Mr. Potato Head. So it just depends. And I think that's good. And in fact, there's a really good book out there that helped me kind of evaluate that. And it's called Screen Time. And you can find it on Amazon, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But I found this book from an article in the Atlantic magazine. They did a whole write-up called The Touchscreen Generation, and talking about this guilt we might feel or this parental judgment that happens when you go out to a restaurant and you see a child using an iPad. Because honestly, I do that. I give him he doesn't get the iPad normally at home very rarely now, but when we go out to breakfast or lunch, well, I'll pull out the iPad and he'll play his little book or do it. And you wouldn't believe how many people do judge you on that. But it's like, I'm doing you the favor.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think it depends on the circumstance. Like, if you're going out to dinner with other adult friends that your kid likes but is not going to have a lot in common with, I think it's perfectly acceptable to say, look, we know this conversation is going to bore you because you're not going to understand half the things we're talking about. So here's something to keep you entertained. They give kids crayons and coloring at restaurants.
Mark used to take G.I. Joe's with him to the restaurant.
Right.
So it's new technology or new thing.
Will take his backpack, and sometimes he'll have his iPhone in there, which is an old iPhone of ours. Mm-hmm. Or Will drag his iPad along, but not as often. And he'll sit there and he'll play Angry Birds or Where's My Water or something like that. And just be canoodling around on it. And I do find it interesting other parents' reactions. It's like, why aren't you engaging with your child? It's like, I engage with my child a lot.
Yeah.
There is a lot of engagement going on.
You're getting like a 30 minute to an hour window into our lives. Right. I don't know. I hate that parenting judging that happens.
I think it's an interesting thing because everybody wants their kid to have the best education and experience possible in childhood. And everybody, of course, has a different idea of what that is.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes hard to let go of that. Well, this is what works for us, so I'm obviously doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. And I find myself, you know, parents who say that they're not going to give their kids any screen time. They're growing up in a computer age. How can you do this to your child? And your poor child needs to learn how to program. And then I'm like, no, step back. That's my philosophy. Mm-hmm. And that's my experience. And I've never had another parent actively come to me and say, you're doing it wrong. So I consider that a win, right? Yeah. And I don't know that I would ever, like, unless there was some physical thing happening.
I have a coworker who says, we're talking about, you know, raising your child. Mm. And he says, you know, my number one goal about raising my child is he doesn't grow up to be a dick.
Right? Yeah.
Such a simple goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be nice. Be polite. Yeah.
And I think he'll do okay. That's what he said. Yeah.
I like that philosophy. I kind of, I mean, I want, and I think Cleo has said this, you know, just I want Mateo, I want him to be a nice kid. I want him to think of others. I want him to know that there's more, there are so many more people in the world than just him. And yeah, so I kind of agree with that philosophy quite a bit, in fact. So yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes about the Atlantic article. Really good, because a reporter went to like an app development little convention for, it was all kid apps. And he was interviewing the developers that had kids. And again, it kind of had the first part of the article makes you feel kind of bad, because it shows you the component of, oh, well, I don't let my kids do anything on the iPad. I'm like, but you're a kids developer of apps. What are you doing? And then on the second half of the article is a really interesting article or interview with a psychologist who kind of gives his philosophy, kind of like we were talking about. It's another toy in the toy box that is used, and the kids will go through phases and things like that. But I think it's such an amazing multi-purpose item that we as parents, we do need to keep a little attention to it, like what you were saying, Eric, about kind of having times for that device.
Yeah, it's just like when they get home from school, I'll give them a half an hour to like just be home, do what they want. But at a certain time, they got to do their homework. Right. And then during that time, there's no iPads or any devices whatsoever in the room with them.
That's like anything in life. You have responsibilities that you need to do, and you can't just sit and read a book
for 5 hours.
You've got to do your homework. You've got to do these other things. And reading a book in itself is not a bad thing. We like that. Right. We want you to read books.
Yep.
But if you're doing that to the exclusion of everything else, it's not good.
Yeah, not enough balance. Mm-hmm. We also have an email from Noelle. She says, thank you for starting this podcast. I've been waiting since Nicole first mentioned wanting to do a parenting podcast at Nerdtacular. Listening to this episode was well worth the wait. I felt like I was hanging out with my friends. I am a mom to Haley, age 3, and Wyatt, age 7 months. While listening to your podcast, I've been feeling badly for almost a week because I had received my 2013 review at work and was dinged for poor productivity. I had Wyatt June 1st. The first half of the year, I was horribly sick while pregnant. The second half of the year, I was so sleep deprived, I would nap in my car at lunch so I'd be able to commute home later in the day. Oh, you poor thing. Of course, my productivity was tanked. I heard Samantha Jane comment that when you're sleep deprived, you will make stupid decisions, I felt like a weight was lifted off of me. She's right.
Sweetie. Yes, totally. Like, I've done some really stupid things when I have.
We all have. I think Eric probably do, Mr. 4 Hours.
Well, I do pretty good.
Just last week, I was sleep deprived because I've been having migraines. And Will was up a couple of times during the week in the middle of the night, delightful child that he is. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that I needed more energy. So I had half a cup of tea. And that was delicious, but it didn't do enough. And then Randy made coffee, and it's like, oh, I'll have a cup of that, please. And then I still didn't have enough energy, so I took a 5-hour energy.
Mm. Whoa.
I way over-caffeinated myself, and I blame that entire stupid decision on the fact that I was so tired, mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do.
You know what I do sometimes? When I just feel like I'm going to fall off on my feet, I take a 15-minute nap. I call them my little, I reboot myself. Like, I call it my rebooting.
And I would love to do that, but it never works for me. I just wake up feeling sick.
Mm.
Do you like my
like stomach. If you sleep too long, if you take too long of a nap, though, you will feel icky. So there might be, for me, it's 15 minutes, but for you, maybe it needs to be 30. There's like a whole like nap. There's a blog post out there that talks about napping and kind of the stages. And
this is important information that I need in my life.
Yeah. Because I feel like when I do that little reboot, mm-hmm. it changes my entire day. And if you have trouble getting to sleep, like I have trouble now getting to sleep. I used to not. I count backwards from 99. It works yeah. for me every time. Like,
well, and I do
takes my mind out of stuff
to get me into sleep. But I've been meditating since I was about 15.
Yeah.
Mainly to deal with migraines, but also to deal with sleep issues and things like that.
Did I tell you I did hypnobirth for Mateo? We'll have to do an episode on like what we did for our pregnancies and
kind of hypnobirth.
Oh, it's an amazing thing.
It's meditation and I was so glad I did it because I couldn't because of the situation that happened. They weren't giving me anything. So because I had gone through the classes and kind of had this way of meditating, I was able to deal with some pretty crazy pain. So
meditate through the pain.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry, we got off track from Noelle's email.
Every time I'm just picturing you having from Futurama, the hypnotic frog on screen.
Right. Yeah. Hypnotoad.
Hypnotoad.
So Noelle was just saying thank you to Sam. Let's see. All I can do is slog through as Wyatt sleeps better and just do my best. And since I heard her say this on my 40th birthday, thank you. So she just wanted to thank you, Sam. Oh. So that was really...
Well, big hugs to you.
Yeah. She does have a question, though.
Oh, good.
So she says, I have an advice request. My daughter is in speech therapy to correct some problems with saying certain sounds. The doctor thought it was best to get her help now. As a typical three-year-old, she doesn't like to acknowledge / listen to us or the therapist. Now I like the therapist, but she suggested we limit Haley's TV and iPad use to help her focus. That annoyed me. We have educational apps and shows for her, and I feel technology is a big help. I grew up with it myself. Her dad worked in computers. Plus, we all use tech in our house. I hate to say it, but she doesn't listen any better if the TV is on or if you put Thomas the Train or crayons or any toys in front of her. She's three. What are your thoughts on limiting screen time? I look forward to more episodes, Noelle. So we kind of already talked about limiting screen time and depending on the kid and things like that. Sam, do you have any thoughts?
I think the important thing is that this is advice.
Yeah.
It's not... you must do this.
Right.
And I sometimes have issues with that. Like when Will's teacher advises something, it's like, oh my God, I have to do this. No, wait, you don't. You have to listen.
Right.
And you have to think about your child and understand how your child thinks and reacts. And if your child is reacting really well to some apps, then they're reacting really well to some apps. Mm-hmm. Will doesn't like to look at something to learn. He wants to do. So if that means constructing a big A out of Lego or writing down an A or drawing something or something like that, then that's how he learns. Mm-hmm. And if Will's teacher turns around and says flashcards, I'm going to say, I understand what you mean. That doesn't work for him.
Right, right. We recently, about 6 months ago, realized that we had the TV on, not for Mateo, but for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a comfort thing for us. And for Mateo, it did stimulate, even though he wasn't watching it, it would stimulate him. So right. we kind of enacted a little rule in our house that if he's on his iPad, then TV's off. You know, there's only one screen on, even though we might be watching the TV, he's actually getting some stimulant from it.
Yeah.
So it just depends on your kid. So, if you don't think it's affecting her, my suggestion is just try different things and see mm-hmm. how she reacts and how it affects her.
It sounds like she's tried it though, because she said that, you know,
she didn't listen any better. Yeah. So it works for her, I think is the main thing.
And sometimes it's just discipline, and three-year-olds don't have much discipline.
Right. Well, and I also, and Eric, you can chime in, kids take a while. Like, you can do something. They're like a big ship to me. Like, it's just because you did one thing doesn't automatically cause a reaction. It may take weeks until you see the result of what you just did. So they're like this big ship that you're just kind of nudging as you steer it.
Yes. Very softly nudging.
Yes.
What about this thing? Isn't it fabulous? Yeah. You know, and then so. 3 weeks later, they're like, oh my God, mommy, this is the coolest thing ever. You know, so.
Do you have any thoughts, Eric, on the topic?
Well, you know, as we just said about how we, you know, both we know what works with our kids and how we set up boundaries and screen time. And as you said, just test things out here and there and see what works best for her kids.
Yeah. And do you ever go on the forum sometimes, Eric? And when you're looking for like advice, especially in those early, like for me, when we were trying to get Mateo's sleep pattern in order, like, I just wanted somebody to tell me a schedule. Like, I need times or I need
something
things like
magical
that.
Well,
yeah.
The problem is with Wesley, he was such a good baby. He never cried. He was so easygoing. And it had maybe something to do with his autism, but he was really good. And it's
spoiled.
Like, we didn't know what normal was.
Right.
You know, we didn't start questioning. Like, because he was our first, you know, our first baby. We didn't know what normal was. And so he was such a good kid. And then, you know, when around 2 years old, when he wasn't quite walking yet and he wasn't, you know, talking yet, we go, I think we need, you know, because we see kids around him. We was like, we need to, you know, get him checked out, see what's going on. And that's when we discovered.
Do you go through, because you mentioned getting AJ tested, do you go through like pediatrician to do that? Or
we took AJ to a neurologist because he was having focusing issues at school.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, we didn't know if he was bored or what it was. But talking to his teacher said, AJ's very intelligent, but I don't know how much, like he could read a story, but is he comprehending the story? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. So we took him to a neurologist to get him tested out to see if there's anything they could do for him. And they subscribed this. It's a little patch called Daytrana. It's like the lowest minimum dosage. And it's like the teachers have said that it's like night and day now that he focuses on his work and he's doing much better at comprehending. That's the thing. It was tricky with him because we're like, he's so intelligent. Why is he having these issues with at school? Mm-hmm. But hopefully this little thing, this little patch he wears at school helps him focus and comprehend more of what he's doing instead of just going through the process of reading a story, but just having going in one ear, going out the other type of thing.
I have that problem.
Do you have that problem?
I do. I'll read something. Like I don't know what it is about reading. I've always had reading problems. And in fact, I was in special ed type of classes in elementary school because I had problems with reading. And I just read something and like I can read it and not just like if I have had
it to, just doesn't stick with
it
you.
It doesn't stick. Like Mark, he can read it and like teach you about it. And I'm just like, what? And we've talked about this on the show, Sam, where we just learn differently. Like for me, it's a do kind of thing. Like I have to, like it's really hard. When I write out procedures and manuals, I have very little text. I have screenshots. That's how I learn and that's how
you're,
I retain.
You're visual.
I'm so visual. So.
Well, and I'm a visual organizer, and I like that tactile thing too. But it depends on what I'm reading.
Yeah.
If I'm reading fiction, it's 100% comprehension, and it's locked into my brain. And it's kind of frustrating because then if I want to reread the book in a few years, I'll still remember it.
Yeah.
If it's a technical manual, if I'm doing it while I'm reading, I'll remember. If I'm just reading it, I won't remember.
Right. What were you going to say, Eric?
No, I'm just saying we all learn differently.
Yeah.
And because I'm a very, you know, visual person, but I'm also a very technical person also.
Mm-hmm.
So like I rather sit and read a music about music, read a magazine about computer music software than I'm reading a book actually.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
But I like, because I can devour that stuff. But you know, as I was saying about with AJ, is you know, he actually can tell a difference now too.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me, he's like, yeah, Dad, I'm doing a lot, you know, better at my reading now. And the thing is as I was saying with him is that we're like, oh, he's been reading since he was three. So but you never think about he might be struggling comprehending of what he's reading because sure.
he's so advanced.
Yeah, you're thinking he's so advanced. What are you talking about? He can read. He's super smart. But we know with him is he's very visual. He has a photographic memory for sure. Because when he was into it, I don't know if I showed this picture, but he drew when he was 5 years old a picture of the United States.
I remember that. Yeah.
All 50 states.
Oh my God. Wow. I can't even do that.
So he's visually. I think he's a visual photographic memory, and that's the way he can lock things in.
Right.
Like, I remember I got new license plates on my car, and different number or whatever, re-registered it. He walked outside and he said, "Hey, Dad, the license plate's different." And I'm like, wow. "Who would
notice that?" Yeah,
that type of thing. So I think everybody has their different, strengths, and maybe reading for him is a harder thing keep the facts in.
And one of the things that I'm fascinated with reading in kids is these different ways of teaching kids to read. Mm-hmm. And I had the very interesting thing that I was taught reading by recognition.
That's how my brother was. I was taught by phonics, by sounding it out. And my brother was 4 years younger than me, and they were teaching him how to just look at a word and basically memorization of the word, not sounding it out.
Right. I was taught by rules, like if an E and an A are together, it is this, except, but there's always the problem with the English. There's always an exception for every rule, sure. But,
No. And I'm one of those people who looks at the outline of a word and then recognizes it and then moves on to the next word. So I have issues with new words.
Gotcha.
Coming in.
I have a problem with, even though I was taught with phonics, sounding things out, I have a weird habit of putting letters in that don't exist because I don't know what it is. I mean, I get tongue-tied a lot too. I have all these like weird things. Like if you've listened to me on podcasts for a long time, especially on the Movielicious, there's periods of time on that show that I was on a prescription called Topamax because I was having problems with vertigo, and that just that messed me up. Like it increased the time between my brain and mouth so much where I would just there were episodes I don't even want to go back and listen to. It's horrible, but it was that Topamax that increased it because I'm already prone to jumbling my words and things like that as I speak. But so yeah, it over the years, honestly, doing podcasting has helped me be a little bit quicker on my toes with that. But it's interesting, like you were saying, how we learn to read and how we were taught to read. Mm-hmm. And that might have not been, like, I know for my brother, the memorization and just recognizing the word did not work for him. And in fact, he has struggled his entire life with that. So, we just didn't have that great of a school system too. So
it sometimes works with me. I read incredibly fast.
Right.
And that's one of the benefits. My comprehension is way up there depending on what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I come across something in a technical manual or something where they're using terminology that I'm not familiar with, it completely stops me in my tracks. Right. And I'm like, what is this word? It is alien to me. And then it's like, I have to like Google it. And it's like, how do you pronounce this word? And Randy still laughs at my pronunciation sometimes because I was raised by English parents in Canada. So like I have my out and about thing, but it's bizarre when I all of a sudden come out with an English word or pronounce.
I love how you say mum.
Mum, yeah. Mom.
So cute.
A mum. But when I all of a sudden, and a friend of mine and I had this huge issue where we were talking about decals.
What is that?
She calls them decals.
Oh, decals. Yeah.
Right. It's just such a weird thing. Language is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Well, we've gone way too long. This is I think the factor in our long episodes is you, Samantha.
Oh no.
It's okay. I'm kidding. All right. So let's wrap up this show. If you would like to send us an email for solicited advice, or maybe you have an app or a fun game that you like to play with your family, you can contact us. You can either email us directly at nerdparents@gmail.com, or you can head on over to nerdparents.com, and there's a little contact button that you can hit and fill out and send us an email. We love emails. And in fact, you know, these emails are really important because it really kind of brings the show on a focus point, honestly, because we can, as you can tell, go on tangents about anything.
Apparently I need focus.
So you can also contact all three of us in a lot of different spaces. But for me, you can find me on Twitter at Nicole Spag. Samantha, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Sam Jane, and I Twitter a lot because I talk a lot.
We all do, I think.
And that's about the best place to find me. I have a Facebook, but it's private for family friends only.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But we do have a Facebook page for Nerd Parents, and all three, both Cleo, Sam, and I, post to there as well. You can also follow Nerd Parents on Twitter at Nerd Parents.
I'm also on the Frog Pants forums, like, a lot.
Yeah, you can go to Frog Pants. Actually, go to extralife.com and then click on forum, and you'll find the Extra Life forums. And there's all kinds. And I forgot to tell you, Sam, we're going to start streaming this live.
Oh, God. Makeup.
No, not video, just audio.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, that's fun.
So yeah, I'll put that in the show notes. But every Wednesday at 10, typically, okay. We'll be broadcasting live on Alpha Geek Radio. So you can head on over to Alpha Geek Radio. I think it's alphageek.com, I believe it is. But I'll put it in the show notes. I use the show notes a lot, if you haven't noticed by now.
Show notes are good.
Yeah, so you can follow us more. Hakito, how can if people would like to follow you or learn more about what you're doing? Because I know you do a segment on App Slappy. Well, you used to do App Slappy as a standalone.
But now I do a little segment on TMS.
Now you go on the morning stream.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can, you know, just follow me on Twitter at Hakito. Hakito.
Hakito.
And, if you're in, yes.
That happened to us in WoW.
In WoW.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in more of my music, you can look me up on iTunes or Amazon or Google Play under Skyhawk.
Oh, yeah. My artist definitely. Name. I have, you came out with an album before the holidays, right?
Yeah, in September, I released my second album called Shattered.
Nice. And I know there's a few of the Frog Pants themes, I guess, on there, right?
There's the App Slappy theme and All Work No Play, which is not actually Frog Pants.
Our friend Liam.
Yeah. Liam, yes.
Yeah, that's a fun podcast. So we're going to have to get Liam on this show in the future. So Liam, if you're listening, I'm coming for you. So thanks again for listening, everyone, and we'll talk with you in a week, where we'll have another nerdy set of parents to discuss what we're dealing with in this wonderful world of raising kids. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.